Everybody jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip, the hip, the hip, 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 hop, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle
up. Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. That's an opportunity for me to talk with a couple of friends here in studio about the events of the week and wrap it up, as former Commissioner Peach so aptly says. Today in studio, I've got Jonathan Owens, longtime friend and former everything, you know, former aide, chief of staff to Doug Underhill County Commissioner, a candidate a couple times for county, two times, right?
One time. I've only subjected myself to that punishment once.
I don't blame you for that. Robertson. I've been saying it, Roberson. Roberson, who is a candidate for District 5, running in the District 5 against Stephen Berry, the incumbent, as a no-party affiliate, retired senior chief.
That's correct.
Senior chief from the Navy. So a guy who knows how to get things done. What was the domain? What was the specialty?
Aircraft mechanic.
Oh, so what'd you work on? What airframe?
My original platform was the regular Hornet.
Oh, Alpha, okay. The legacy Hornet, the sports car. Okay.
The sports car.
The sports car versus the Cadillac. That's how Greg McWhorter always talks about it. So, okay. Very good. And again, now a candidate. Welcome, by the way. This is the first time I've had you on. First time. Okay. All right. Well, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
The second time we met.
That's right.
We met for 4 seconds before.
Yeah, at the McCool Commissioning. That's right. Let's start with this. Ashley Hofberger is now sitting in the seat. Now, she's been the commissioner. I guess she was, you know, really sworn in a little while back. But this is the official ceremony. So, you know, and she's made her first motion, all that kind of stuff. Thoughts about just the appointment? Now, I have been saying, you know, the governor delayed way too long. It sucked that D4 didn't have a commissioner for so long. I was very surprised that it didn't happen right after she won the primary. I was then even more surprised that it happened just a month before the election. You may wind up serving with her, or, you know, will not. We'll see how the election goes. But what do you think about the appointment coming a month before the election, Josh?
Yeah, that's a month before. When appointments, I don't want to speak for anybody else. I'll tell you for myself. It's a little offhanded. I thought if there was an appointment was going to happen, it was going to happen after the primary. So I don't know why it would happen a month before the election. Thought they should have just left it. It was already vacant for so long. They should have just left it open until the election.
Yeah, losing a month or so, you know, month and a half once you get to the 18th, it's not that big of a deal.
That's right.
But, you know, once you've already gone so long, Jonathan, it seemed weird to me. The timing seemed very weird to me.
I agree with Josh. It could have happened sooner. Mm-hmm. Who knows what the actual reason was? I mean, I'm sure it spun up a lot of conspiracy theories on why.
It absolutely has.
You know,
Facebook's been a light.
it's been a light, right. Was it just a delay because the governor's appointee's office is, you know, so backlogged? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's several appointments that are on the UWF
That's right.
Board from people that have died that have not been filled by the governor's office. So
Escambia Children's Trust.
And the Escambia Children's Trust. Why that appointment for the D4, but the other ones have not? And if it was so important for that one, why not do it in August?
Right.
It's just a lot of opportunities for, you know.
I forgot about the UWF and then the Children's Trust too. But the UWF, how many are they down? Like three?
I think so.
Well, I mean, you don't really need a board of governors to run a university, do you? Sorry.
Those folks might think you do.
Snarky, yes.
The ones that are on that board think.
Well, and you have you have challenges like meeting quorum.
Right.
You know, for a lot of these boards. And, you know, I don't know that UWF has ever not met because of quorum issues, but I know the children's or the TDC, every time it's a challenge, you know, and they're full.
Right.
You know, so does it benefit Ron Helms, do you think?
I don't know.
Does he make it an issue? I haven't heard him really make it. He did kind of when I talked to him, you know, a little bit, you know, made it. But I haven't seen anything like that. Do they turn their vote because of that? Because I originally thought this was meant to maybe benefit her, but coming a month before the election, I worried that it would actually harm her because of the perception of bias, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. It's you can't tell how someone's going to vote based on what they vote on.
I mean, how true is that?
A lot of times people vote on, you know, I dated a girl in high school that was her last name. I think I'm going to vote for her. Or I knew this guy was my best friend as we were kids. I liked that name.
Yeah.
I mean, I've literally heard people say I voted for them because I liked their name.
Democracy is so beautiful.
So it, you know, why do you make, what's a decision matrix to make a vote, right? So
I'm not sure how, I'm going to have to, on this one, I'm sure Mr. Owens is going to be running for office before and then serving, like you had mentioned, all his serving before with Mr. Underhill. So,
hey, do me one favor.
Yes, sir.
Put your face right in front of that microphone all the time. There you
go. All right, there we go. All right, sorry. No, I thought I was close enough.
No, it's the most unnatural thing in the world to speak into a radio microphone. It really is.
So with his statement, not sure, but she'll be up in she was on the dais yesterday, and
right.
then she'll be making decisions in the voting like she did yesterday. So we'll see.
I think have when great people confidence. Go in, that's not the issue. That's absolutely not the issue at all. The sort of related matter is there's some big stuff, and we've talked about this quite a bit, but I still think it is so worth talking about. My great fear is that this commission is going to try to make some big decisions before Jeff Burgosh leaves, before the three-vote block is broken. And if you went against Stephen Barry, against it really being broken, but we're getting, we've got one new commissioner. We've got another one coming with Steve Stroberger in November. We may have another one coming with you possibly if you win your election. I assume, but this is why I asked the question, you think big decisions like the sports, the athletic complex and the Bay Center and or OLF8 should maybe wait until the new commission is in?
Absolutely. I'm not even going to hesitate. That's absolutely should wait. You especially don't make any big votes until after the new commission's in. Don't wait. Don't make any votes on November 7th. That's after the election.
Yeah.
Let's wait until after everyone's seated.
Jonathan?
As if the wheels of government doesn't move slow enough already. Oh, well, we need to wait. We need to wait. We need to wait. We need to wait for this. We need to wait for that. I heard that many times over the 8 years that I was down there we need to wait after the election for this. Well, why? Why can't we vote for it now? If it's important now, why can't we vote for it now? Now, saying that, I agree with Josh. These big expenditures need to wait until the new board that's going to have to deal with where that money's going to come from, how it's going to affect their constituency, countywide or district specific. I think that you do need to wait for OLF8, OLF8 especially, because it was a topic in 2020,
right?
At that race, right? Here we are 4 years later. We still don't have a buyer.
There's not a single piece of dirt that's been turned up on that field in the last, 7 years?
Well, except for the stuff that was done by
Navy Federal.
Navy
Federal built the park. It's fantastic.
Yep. I guess we won't have to worry about building tennis courts now, though. So, there's that.
So if I may real quick, Mr. Owens, so with that being 4 years, there shouldn't be a rush in the next
right
15 days, mm-hmm. 20 days, right? We can hold off.
And I would say this, unless Jeff had won his election. If Jeff had won and, Ashley was in,
right,
and then you have, four consistent seats, and even if D5 was up, I might have a different view, but it's particularly because the voters have said, we want big change, and there are big changes, and of course we don't know what's going to happen in District 5. That's a big part of it. If it had been everybody was winning and it was all the same, I mean, then it doesn't really matter. Okay, so can I make my joke now?
Yes, make your joke.
If you wind up getting on the board, Josh, you're going to go out at the wrong time, because had you done it, like, say, 8 years ago, then you could have been on the county commission and it would have been District 1, Wilson Robertson, District 4, Grover Robinson, and District 5, Josh Rob. I'm going to screw it up. I can't even think straight about Robertson. Robinson, Robertson, and Robertson.
Yeah.
And I guess that joke's not as funny as I thought.
It was funny to us.
It is not fair the way we do names of politicians in this area. It's always there's something like this. All right. I feel like you were going to say something else, though, and I cut you off. Was there some other part you wanted to add to that?
OLF8. Again, it's been going on for years and years. There's been one guy that's been consistent through this the whole time, and that's Fred Himmer, trying to put an offer in, and he has been repeatedly blocked, from my opinion.
I totally agree.
Looking at it from the outside, because I'm not working down there anymore. But if you watch the county commission meetings, you know, we're looking for the right partner.
Oh my God, how many times did Stephen say that? Stephen Barry said that over and over. He couldn't have been more clear that he just
all of a sudden the right partner showed up at the last meeting. It's amazing. Yeah. Out of nowhere.
Before the election.
Right before the election, we've got the right partner.
And look, I'll say that, I'll be honest, they might be the right person.
They might be. Sure. But why rush into it at this point?
When they're the right person based on shifting characteristics of the deal, whole parcel, not whole parcel, trying to do it looks so shady the way this is all happening. And I hope it's after the new installation of the new board, because then we'll have, you know, more certainty about the future. And again, entering into a 30-year or I think encumbrance for $90 million for the one, and entering into long-term deals for OLF-8 and the other massive, 40 and 50 year decisions being made at a rush when the board is under change right at the last minute. It's ugly. It's just ugly. 849 on News Radio 92.3. Let's talk about some of these amendments, because I think it's very interesting what we're being asked to vote on this fall. Before that, though, problem with most all of them is vagueness. I mean, they're all...
Ballot language is so vague.
Weirdly, the only one that's clear and clear as a bell is the partisan school board one.
Right.
Going from, you know, no party affiliation, you just never say, to having a party affiliation. At least that's clear. You know, whether you agree or disagree, we know what that amendment would do. It's very clear. The abortion one has massive unclarity. The hunting and fishing one has at least some unclarity. The marijuana one has at least some unclarity to it. And the ballot language is not clear. In fact, I really love Ballotpedia. Are they the ones? It's somebody who does a language clarity score for the ballot amendments. And you get things like second grade to master's degree level knowledge you have to have in order to read these things. What does it mean for a democracy when we're asking people to figure out ballot amendments that it takes a master's degree education to decode? I have one, and I still am not sure about them.
I'll jump in on this one. Ballot language, much like what I made reference earlier, someone makes a decision on who they vote for as their elected representative based on name recognition or someone that they knew or they liked their name. Understanding ballot language is a challenge, like you said, for someone even with a master's degree in education. You've got to go do your homework. Something that we lack as a society today is the printed paper. We were talking about that earlier. That was the main source, right?
Yeah.
For news, pre-radio, was print,
right? Pre-TV, right. That's all it was.
So the only way you knew about the news was you read the entire paper. Well, did that language show up in some of the in the newspapers at the time? Here's what the ballot language actually is. Now it's here's what the summary is, and you have to go some obscure place if you're not used to looking for it and find it.
Right.
Most people don't take the time to do that, and they make a decision based on I think this is right,
or they've seen ads,
right? It driven by whoever spent the most money on their story.
Right. So, right. And especially with the abortion one, language around that that's been heavily litigated. And even I, as an opponent, think that the very critical language is, at least half of it, is super prejudicial. Josh?
So going back to Mr. Owens, it's like...
I love that you call him Mr. Owens. Well,
it's kind of how it works, right?
My dad's name was Mr. Owens.
So it's kind of how it works, Mr. McKay. So here we go. So now that I'm running,
yes, senior chief,
kind of running a campaign, that's over. Mr. Robertson, try that one.
All right.
You'll trip up. But you're running a campaign, so you put out big names and you say no on four.
Yeah.
So no on three. I'm just using that, right? So no on abortion. So all you know is the abortion piece. All you know is the marijuana piece. You have to read that that ballot information. So all you really know when you walk in there is, oh, I'm going to vote no on abortion. Yes on fishing and hunting and fishing. I'm going to vote no on abortion. I'm going to vote yes on marijuana. Right. That's all you really know. You got to go read the fine print.
Yeah.
That's what I think. What Mr. Owens is talking about. That's what you're fed. The big names, Joshua Robertson, County Commissioner. It's on the people to go read the the fine print.
And look, I get that that's true of the candidates as well, right? That, you know, when you go to vote, it doesn't give you a policy platform summary for the candidates for District 5. So there's always going to be required prefatory work before you go vote. But I think about also that it's not just the ballot initiatives, but somebody texted me and said, Andrew, you're doing such a great job of covering these amendments. Can you tell us about the judges? No. Mm-mm. No. Because, I mean, frankly, I am at my maximum capacity on research all the time. And the amount of work that it would genuinely take to figure out which judges are good, which judges are not as good, which judges are genuinely bad. And then you have other issues like the Soil and Water Conservation Board. God knows even what they do, let alone who they are. You know, there are so many parts of the ballot that nobody can know. Mm-hmm. And yet here we are expected to make decisions about these things. How do you make those decisions, right?
That's right. That's where we're going. It's a long vetting process, so to speak, and you have to make that conscious decision. And that's the hard part.
And again, like, it's my job to learn a lot of these things and to explain them. And if I feel frustrated, I mean, good Lord. You know, I think that about all kinds of things all the time. I'm like, you know, if this is hard for me, it's got to be impenetrable for most people.
Because this is what you do every day. I mean, you live, eat, and sleep, breathe everything having to do with local issues, right?
Right.
News, politics, you know, social, whatever.
And I may not know everything, but I know a few things. And I may not be the smartest, but I'm not so bad, you know? And if it's hard for me to figure out, it's going to be impossible. And if we're supposed to have representative democracy and people, you know, going to the poll, you know, go vote.
Well, what am I voting for?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. And then they get in there and they knew these top three names that they were voting. You know, they're voting for Trump or Harris. You know, they're voting for Gates or Villamont or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they get about four in and they're like, man, this is taking a long time. I'm kind of hungry, you know?
Right.
So, but I want to return to one of the amendments because I think it might be the most interesting that hasn't gotten a lot of discussion. Obviously, there's a lot of talk around the marijuana and abortion amendments. But partisan school board is a very interesting one because, to me, it highlights the fact that schools, public schools, with public funding and with rules about what can be there, have been the center of the culture wars for as long as I've been alive. And yet, we're not in Florida. We're not allowed to say which side of the culture war we're on when we're running for election.
Right.
That strikes me as weird.
I am in support of having whatever flag you fly, or once you have that, you can either, okay, you're a Democrat or you're a Republican, or you're like Josh.
No party affiliate. Or Libertarian People's Democratic Socialists of America, or whatever you are, tell me, you know?
And the interesting thing will be is, okay, well, how long have you been that?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I know there's some local races right now that people are saying, oh, well, you know, this person's been this for that long or this. Does that really matter?
I do have a side thought on that. I thought the best skewer, which is in debate, we talk about a skewer is when you really get your opponent good, is we had people making big hay. District 3 in Santa Rosa County, James Calkins, was making big hay about being a lifelong Republican. Raul had become a Republican and been a Democrat before.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, so you're a big Trump supporter, though, right? Trump was a Democrat. And Reagan was a Democrat, right? Like, come on, you got to allow people to change. Go with them where they are rather than what they've been.
We grow up and we change. We have different opinions. We have different life experiences.
Absolutely.
You know, I was a Democrat at one point. I was an independent.
I was an atheist.
Right.
Come on, people change.
Right.
You know?
And now I'm a Republican. And you know, that may change again in the future, depending on where the party goes.
Right. You know? You might move. The party might move. Right.
People change. Right.
What do you think? I'm curious what you're going to say as an NPA, you know, what you have to say about whether candidates for school board ought to declare their party affiliation or declare that they're no party affiliation. So
I don't agree they should.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Tell me more. Yeah.
So,
why?
Yeah. So why bring politics into the school? Like, what I mean by that is, let's generally speaking, in the last 12 years, you have a very Republican heavy, let's say 80% here in Escambia County.
Right.
So we're going to drive very Republican heavy school board.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Santa Rosa is 100%.
Yeah.
Even though it's not 100% Republican, that's what the representation is. Right.
Let's keep that train of thought. What do we got out of Miami?
Heavy Democrat.
Oh, right. Okay. So when that's the school board deal. Once you start having to put that in place, outside of your area, people do move. So would that influence how the school systems are run? So when a child leaves one area and goes to another, what's that going to look like? So keep politics out of the school and let's just teach school how school's meant to be taught.
Oh, I love it. See, I didn't know we disagreed about that. So I wish I should have realized with you being an MPA that you might have a different opinion. But I appreciate that. You haven't persuaded me.
That's fine.
It's an interesting argument for a coherent school district across the state, I think is kind of the argument that you're making, and that they would be more so if there weren't partisan races. Thanks for the time, guys.
Thanks, man.